Good afternoon. You're listening to KTOO. I'm Yvonne Crumery. Thanks for tuning in. Peter Pan Seafood announced Friday it was ceasing operations. The state-backed seafood processor has faced mounting troubles, including legal claims from fishermen claiming back-owned payments for unpaid deliveries of fish. The company made the announcement Friday night on Facebook, saying it was, quote, saddened to share that Peter Pan Seafoods will be halting operations at its processing plants. That includes the discontinuation of both summer and winter production. Another seafood giant, Silver Bay Seafoods, announced it would acquire Peter Pan's Valdez facility, as well as operate Peter Pan's facilities in Dillingham and Port Mahler during the 2024 salmon season. That announcement left out King Cove, the Eastern Aleutian community where Peter Pan's largest processing facility is located. Commentators on Facebook expressed frustration and disappointment that the company waited until less than 2 months before the start of salmon season to announce its summer plans. King Cove, a community of around 800 residents, relies on the processing facility as its main economic engine. The city already faced hardship when Peter Pan opted last minute to not open for winter's A season, forcing local fishing boats to scramble for new facilities where they could deliver their catch. Peter Pan said current or former employees can seek processing jobs at Silver Bay Seafoods, but did not specify which facilities would be hiring. And a partisan brawl is about to erupt in Congress over the impeachment of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, and Alaska U.S. senators are seemingly split over it. Alaska Public Media Washington correspondent Liz Ruskin reports.
Republicans in the U.S. House plan to deliver the articles of impeachment to the Senate on Monday. A question about it drew a weary sigh from Senator Lisa Murkowski.
I was just wondering about your thoughts about the Mayorkas impeachment.
Murkowski explained that when the Senate takes delivery of an impeachment, senators have to focus on that and start a trial. That, she says, blocks progress on all the other business of governing the country, like passing budget bills and national security legislation.
I am more than a little bit frustrated that we're going to be taking up an impeachment process that most everybody understands is really nothing more than a messaging effort.
The message is actually one that Murkowski agrees with, that the Biden administration has mishandled the border crisis, or as she put it, failed miserably. The House impeachment accuses Mayorkas of refusing to comply with the law and breaching the public trust. Defenders of Mayorkas and some constitutional scholars say this is a policy dispute, not an impeachable offense. Murkowski says the job of the Senate would be to decide if Mayorkas's actions amount to high crimes and misdemeanors.
And I don't see that. And I don't know that even if we were given the benefit of a full trial, we would ever get to that. And so in the meantime, we're going to be going through an exercise that I am just not convinced is going to result in anything other than an opportunity to beat up on the administration's immigration policies.
Senator Dan Sullivan, on the other hand, says, bring it on. In a tweet posted on X, Sullivan urged Senate Democratic leader Chuck Schumer to follow precedent and hold a full trial for Mayorkas. Sullivan says it's about providing the American people with transparency and accountability. A Senate trial would start early next week, if there is one. Democrats are hoping to ditch the impeachment quickly, maybe with a motion to table or to dismiss. Murkowski says she doesn't know how she'd vote.
I don't know what the motion's going to be yet. I don't think that anyone has defined that.
A large majority of Americans view immigration as a crisis or a major problem, and electoral politics are at stake. Democratic senators in tight races are under pressure to convict Mayorkas or risk political ads portraying them as weak on the border. Meanwhile, some of the Senate's more conservative Republicans are talking about the issue in the harshest terms. Here's Texas Senator Ted Cruz.
We are witnessing a profound threat to our nation at the southern border. Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, and this entire administration is deliberately and willfully facilitated the criminal invasion of this country.
Several studies of crime statistics have found that undocumented migrants commit crimes at lower rates than native-born citizens. Alaska Congresswoman Mary Peltola voted against the impeachment in February, as did all House Democrats. Reporting from the U.S. Capitol, I'm Liz Ruskin.
You're listening to Tongass Voices, perspectives from the homelands of the Occoquan and beyond. The University of Alaska Southeast's ceramics classes in Juneau are hard to get into because so many people want to take them. Jeremy Kane has been teaching ceramics for 20 years. Each year, the ceramics department makes and donates hundreds of bowls to the Empty Bowls fundraiser, which raises money for the Glory Hall shelter in Juneau. KTOO sat in on a bowl-making demonstration in his intermediate class at UAS.
But we're going to start with about a couple pounds of clay, maybe a little bit more, 2.5, 2.25. It's not really so important how you make them. It's just a matter of being efficient with your operation. And when I'm putting this clay on the wheel, there's no need to show off. Like, make that nice round ball of clay. Get it in your hands, smack it around a little bit. This clay is going to soften up so much. Center it and enter it. If the clay is wedged properly, shouldn't have to do too much centering. Shouldn't have to do too much work at all.
My name is Jeremy Kane. I moved to Fairbanks when I was 18 years old with my friends, and had taken ceramics classes when I was a kid, so I've been making things for a long time. So I took college ceramics starting when I was 18 in Fairbanks and spent 6 years there in undergrad. And then I have a master's degree from Ohio University for 3 years. And then that's when I finally landed this position here, and I've been here working since. So that's my 20th year teaching.
I encourage you guys to try to set some goals for timing on these pots. We had like a race in grad school one time. I think I made 45 bowls in an hour. All the clay is prepped, not talking to anybody. Mm-hmm. And you just sit there and blah, 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 knock them out. And then later you got to trim them. So I wouldn't go to that extent, but I think that you guys should all easily be able to make 10 bowls easy.
This particular project, we do it. It's for the homeless shelter in town, and we've been doing it for years. We've donated thousands of bowls to this particular project over the years, but I don't want it to be just a donation. I want the students to be able to learn from it.
Part of a nice handmade bowl has to do with the fact that you still have a hand in it. Okay, so some of the nicest pots that you'll buy that are actually commercial pots, like say from China, they all have reference of hand marks in them because that's what people like. You can see there's a little undulation in that pot. Undulation means it's got a little wiggle to it. When I make pots, I like to have that motion in there, or else I can just buy them at Kmart. You guys probably don't know what Kmart is anymore.
I try to encourage them to do it different ways, and different styles of bowls, and different ways of different techniques. So it's not necessarily like one standard bowl that you just crank out. I want them to like really think about it.
You know, when you think about bowls, like for this particular project, I want you guys to, like, we're not just donating time. I want you guys to think about things and make them for, sounds selfish, but when you're making pots, you got to make them for yourself. And then they get, if they're nice enough for you, then they get really evenly distributed throughout the community, essentially. Okay, so you don't make things for other people. You make them for yourself because you're the artist. You're the person that's spending the time doing it. But you got to make something that you like.
I do think that making things in multiples is the only way to learn how to make pottery. You know, it's kind of the art of repetition.
But when it comes to making pots, sometimes it's nice to have a bigger bowl. You want room in that bowl to be able to put stuff. So if you're serving somebody dinner and you have this really tiny little bowl that you made and you're real proud of it, maybe it's better to put like jelly or like put some sort of dip in there or something. But a real bowl would have enough room that you could serve food and still have like 2 or 3 inches on the top of that pot in order to be able to look at the surface on that ceramics or to be able to see what it is, or it creates a contrast between the food. Say you're eating some sort of crab bisque, right? Oh my God, that sounds killer. Did anybody bring that tonight for class?
I wish you did.
So many different cultures have that sort of specialty, different foods and different spices, but it's all food. People make potatoes and meat and vegetables. So that's the world. It's not that amazing. But the dishes that the stuff is served in, I think it makes it amazing.
Okay? All right. Get to work.
That was University of Alaska Southeast ceramics instructor Jeremy Kane for this week's Tongass Voices. Empty Bowls is this Sunday. Tickets are available at jahc.org. And as for the weather here in Juneau, it's 52 degrees and sunny today. Tonight has a low of 27 degrees. And the rest of this week looks like more of the same. This is KTOO.